Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Brett and Kyle with me today. And today we have actually a very special episode. We are going to be talking about our Africa missions trip. So we wanted to bring on another special guest. So welcome back to the show, Garrett Ka'ai. Welcome back, Garrett.
Thank you for having me.
So before we get started, I did want to say, Garrett, I'm very proud of you for your sharing on Sunday. For those of you that don't know, our Africa team did share this past Sunday about our trip, and it was actually a very unscheduled service. So we had planned out three people were going to share, and then we were just going to discern when it was everyone else's turn to share. And so I think, Kyle, you were speaking, and I really felt like Garrett was supposed to go up. So I kind of tapped him on his leg and said, "Hey, Garrett, I think you should go up and share this story." And he goes, "Yep, I'll do it." And so right when Kyle came down, he ran up there and he did a great job. And I was like, "Wow, Garrett, you just did such a good job kind of on the spot. We didn't plan that you were going to go up there and say anything, but you did. And it was awesome just seeing your growth in the past month and a half of your ability, your stage presence, your the thought process, just everything. It was just awesome. I was so proud of you, Garrett. So good job."
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, that's kind of what we were doing in Africa too, right? It's kind of just like, "Oh, I think we're supposed to do something. Okay, go." Like, no time to think, no time to have any doubt or anything. And so, yeah, I've been trying to be more like that. And so I appreciate that you're calling me out for doing it.
All right. So for this episode, you know, since I was on the Africa team, I think we're going to kick it to Brett to host the rest of this episode. So he's probably going to be asking us some questions that have to do with Africa and maybe some that don't.
All easy ones, right, Brett?
Sure.
Kyle already told us that on every question, he's going to start lead off by kicking it to someone else so that he doesn't have to answer first.
It's just one of my strategies. We'll see how it plays out.
Well, I will say something. There is a little bit of a different energy in here. And I'm a little left out because you guys are all on the team together. So there's a little bit of I could just feel there's this team bonding that took place. And I know with that, there's a lot of, you know, good stuff that we heard on Sunday, but I'm sure there's, you know, tons of stories. And one thing I wanted to ask you guys, I know it was all dudes on the trip together. So I have to imagine there were some funny stories. And so if you guys could each share something funny that happened or unexpected that, yeah, kind of maybe isn't ministry based, so to say, but just a good time with the group.
Yeah, some part of our bonding, right?
Yeah, part of that bonding.
Garrett, you want to kick it off? You had a fun one, and because I was the driver on this one, and so I didn't get to experience it the way you did. But
well, it wasn't fun when it happened. So we were driving to the farm, and it's like dirt road, but not just dirt; it's like bumpy. And so I'm sitting in the back with.
And not bump, like vibration, like bump, like humps,
like
a roller coaster.
My head on the roof, every other bump. And so it was rough. And so we had like four guys squeezed in the back. It was me, Matt, Dylan, and Eli. And so Dylan's between me and Eli. And, you know, Dylan's having a good time. He's like, "Oh, let's go faster, go faster." And then all of a sudden he's like, "Oh, dude, I think I'm going to throw up."
Oh, man.
And so I was like, "Oh, man." Because I was like, "Please don't throw up on me." And he's like, he's like getting like blue in the face. It's like, "Oh no." I'm telling him, like, "Dude, we could pull over. Like, it's cold." It's like, "No, man, I can make it. No, I can make it." It's like, "You don't have to do that. We can, like, it's all dirt. Like, no one's around." But, oh man, it was a long car ride for me because I did not want to get thrown up on. But
a little stressful.
Oh yeah, very stressful.
At one point, I just hear I don't know if it was a yell. I don't know if it was you, Garrett, or one of the other boys. Like, "I think we need to pull over." And I'm like, "Oh man, someone has to go to the bathroom really bad." That's kind of what I thought. And then they started talking. I'm like, oh well, whatever. We have to keep going.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't funny, but like now I'll remember that for a long time. That very long car ride.
Okay, so now it's funny because he actually did not throw up.
Yeah, he
right?
didn't throw up on us.
If he would have, it wouldn't have been funny. Yeah, regardless. No.
I really do think that God's grace was on our car ride that time because, you know, we go to Big Bear sometimes and Dylan doesn't make it very far before we have to pull over and he does throw up.
Oh,
so
dang.
For us to be able to go on a 2-hour car ride through what we did, I was pretty impressed that he was able to make it.
Yeah. Okay, so for me, the first one that popped in my head was my son. So I've seen him do this And so to me, it was like no big deal. But seeing everybody else's reaction, I thought was hilarious, especially Mike and Trisha Hyodo. So we were at dinner one night. And this is towards the end of our week together with them. So we've kind of gotten closer. And so you could tell because then I don't know what brought it up, but Eli said something about his superpower. And I don't know if it was him or Jaden or somebody, because I know some of those guys know. So somebody labeled this thing that he does his superpower. And so what this is, he kind of does like a belly dance. He can roll his stomach like upward, and then he can do it the other way. And so he had just eaten a ton of food too, and his stomach was like so full. So he's doing it, and then he just starts laughing while he's doing it. He can't even do it very good. And so for me, it was funny. And then Trisha's like, oh no, you got to do it again. You got to do it again, because she wanted to record it. So then he was even like brave enough to just do it again while he knows he's being recorded. But then we were all just like, I was crying just because of Trisha's reaction to it. It made me laugh so hard. I was dying. So yeah, one of those proud father moments.
All right, for mine, it's funny now. I don't know if it was funny in the moment. But, okay, so the day...
No, it was not funny in the moment. It was very tense.
Okay. Okay, so the morning that we were going to go on our safari, we were supposed to wake up early, and we were going to have breakfast. So Mike had arranged for the hotel that we were staying at to serve us breakfast at 5:20.
Like an hour before they were normally due.
Yeah, right? Normally I think they start at 6:30, yeah. And so they were going to come out at 5:20 and have food for us. So Mike had made all these arrangements with the manager and everything. And so Kyle and I get out of our rooms at 5:20 and we start walking upstairs and there's nobody there. And we're like, oh, okay, I guess they're not ready. It's like dark. So yeah, there's nothing going on. So we said, okay, I guess we're just going to go back into our rooms until 5:45 when we were going to meet to go on our safari. So at 5:45, we come out. I look upstairs. There's lights on. There's some people up there, but we're supposed to meet downstairs so we can go. So I go on the elevator, walk down, and then Mike goes, oh, our other driver, he's a little late. So I go, oh, maybe we should just go upstairs and see if there's any food, right? And then Mike looks over and says, wait, you guys didn't eat yet? And we're like, yeah, they weren't ready. Nothing was ready. And so he goes, all right, hold on a second. So then he gets on his phone and he calls the manager.
At 5:45 in the morning.
At 5:45 in the morning. And basically the conversation goes something like, hey, you know, you ruined this opportunity for my team. We had made arrangements yesterday. You agreed that you're going to come or have people ready to go at 5:20 so that they could eat. Now the rest of their day is ruined because we're going on safari. We're going to be out all day and they haven't eaten anything. And so he kind of closes it off.
He's laying it on pretty thick, right?
Yeah. And he's pretty serious. So I'm a little laughing right now, but he was pretty serious, right? And then he closes his conversation on the phone with, you owe me big time. You owe me big time, George. And then just hangs up, right? And then 2 seconds later, he starts laughing about something else. He's like telling a joke or something. So I look at all of the sons and they're all like in shock.
Yeah, like mouth hanging open.
Yeah. They're like, oh my gosh, what just happened right here? Because yeah, he was laying it on pretty thick. And then then afterwards he said, I wasn't upset. I mean, I just wanted them to know that I was serious, right? So I thought it was pretty cool. Well, one, I thought it was pretty cool that he was able to not let that affect the rest of his day. So I kind of told that to our team. It's like, look at how he was able to do this thing where he was serious, but then it didn't affect the rest of his day, right? Mm. So it's easy for us to have something go wrong or not the way that we want it to, and then it affects us the rest of the day, right? So he was able to not allow that to affect us the rest of the day. But especially for my son, that became the catchphrase of the rest of the weekend was, you owe me, George.
Right? You owe me big time, George.
So they just kept saying that in random times. Just, yeah. You owe me big time, George.
Oh, I think it was your son and Matt DiGucci. Yeah. He was like, he would just all of a sudden lean over, you owe me big time, George. And then he just started busting up.
That's so funny. I'm sure there's a ton more of just, random stuff that happens, just spending that time together. That's awesome.
Crazy story with an ostrich. We don't have to go into details on that, but you're starting to laugh already. If you want to know about that, ask us in person.
Yeah, I was going to say, I encourage all of you guys to continue to ask them, because even though they got to share at church and on the podcast, I'm sure there's just many more things that there's not enough time for. They don't even remember, and some sparks their interest. One thing I did want to ask you guys is I got to talk to each of you, I think, a little bit beforehand before you went. You know, just like kind of what you're expecting. Are you nervous? Are you excited? And so having come back now and been able to kind of decompress and get back into the rhythm of things, how did your expectations either meet or did it, were you surprised by anything? Whether it was just in the mission as a whole or specifically Africa, just going there, I know, you know, people are worried about the long plane ride, the layovers, then the food, you know, you kind of have all these question marks where you can assume certain things, but how did your expectations either come to reality or was it different?
Well, I tried not to have much expectation just because, you know, I didn't want to like get there and be like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was or anything. I just want to get there and see what God had. But you know, we got there, and when we landed in Mozambique, one of the things that like really shocked me was how they treated us, like from the get-go. Mm-hmm. They really treated us like family, right? And that's actually something I talked about when I spoke on the last Sunday in Mozambique was, you know, they treat us like family from the moment we landed all the way until we left.
Wait. You don't get welcoming parties here that sing to you and when you get off the airplane?
Not normally. I think that was my first time. But yeah, that was really special. Just the way that they treated us, and you know, I didn't know what to expect with that. But throughout the whole time, I was like, "Wow, this is really just like visiting people we've known for a long time." Even though you know, I just met them, they're still like talking to me and trying to feed me and treat me like you know, I am their family. Mm-hmm. And so that was really a shock, and it was just a huge blessing too, because I just felt really comfortable with them. And wherever we went, it wasn't like, oh man, like I don't even know these people. And then we're in this super uncomfortable environment. Like the environment was sometimes uncomfortable, but we were with people that, you know, were cool with us and that really took care of us. And so that was really helpful for me. And it just really, really blessed me. And that's something I still think about now, that we are like on the opposite side of the world and they still see us in that way. So that really blew away any expectation I had, if I had any.
Mm. I think for me, one of the things that I wasn't expecting was to leave with so much hope. Mm. I think a lot of the organizations and the people that we met with and the places that we visited, it was really awesome to see how the Lord has been moving in them to produce change. Mm. So especially in Kenya, we went to a few different places. We talked about Made in the Streets on our service on Sunday. So if you have questions about that, you can listen to the service because they did talk quite a bit about Made in the Streets. But some of the other places that we visited, one was called Ubuntu, and then we also visited Paul's Village. It just really felt like the Lord had his hand on those places and that he is using them to produce change in Kenya, especially for the better, right? So Ubuntu, they are empowering people by giving them jobs and a marketplace that they can sell their wares, as well as they're also providing a place where children with special needs can get care, the care that they need and the care that they weren't able to have before. Mm. And so it's a really comprehensive ministry that they have. And they won't say it's specifically a Christian organization, although the leaders that they have there are all Christians.
And it was started by a pastor.
Yeah. But they bring in everybody. Mm-hmm. And just the way that they run things, the unity that they have, the vision that they have to help those that are forgotten, right? Because a lot of the special needs children in that area are shut-ins or forgotten. Mm-hmm. To provide them with care and using manufacturing of handbags and shoes and jewelry as a way to support and provide this care. It's just such a comprehensive thing. And it was really cool to see how each of the places that we went was, like I said, comprehensive, right? So it wasn't just about giving them vocational skills. It was so much more than that, right? So even for Made in the Streets, they take these kids off the streets and they provide them with an education. They provide them with job skills, but then they also provide them with mental health counseling. They also said that they also provide them with deliverance if they need it. And so it's very comprehensive, and it's really a cool thing to see that we can go all the way over there and not have these any expectation, but how well they're doing things and how the Lord is just really moving in them to provide a holistic ministry. And it's not just one thing, but it's just providing for the care for the whole person and not just, oh, we're going to give you job skills, but they're really getting cared for through these people. And that just brought me so much hope and hope that those ministries can continue to grow so that they can provide more for the people that are around them.
Yeah, that's awesome. You showed me some pictures and I was even surprised. I didn't know what to expect, but you showed me the pictures of some of those places you visited and it's like, well, those places are nice, or like they really have it. It looks like they have it done well for them to sustain it, for them to grow. And it's just cool to know that, just the investments that have been made into lives there, it's pretty powerful.
And even to speak into that too, it's like, even though it's nice and they look, the buildings or whatever are well-funded and well-done, they haven't lost focus of what their calling is to. Like that whole thing about selling handbags and shoes, it's all about special needs kids. That's the reason they do all that stuff. They want to, it helps them to be self-sustaining, but they haven't forgot like their purpose.
That's awesome.
I'm like, oh, that's really cool. For me, I'm one of the two people that had been on that trip before. So me and Pastor Barry. So I had certain things I remembered from the first time. And I tried not to let some things, I didn't want things to hinder me, but the plane was, I wouldn't say it was traumatic the first time, but it was hard. Like I don't sleep well in planes. So then in my body, so I had to fight through a lot of, oh, I need sleep. I need that. And all these kind of things I had put on myself before, I had to break through the first trip. And some of it was hard. And so this time I kind of went more, a little bit more with the attitude. I did complain about, or anticipating the plane trip. And I bought a nice butt cushion that helped.
Nice.
But I was off and on like different days not feeling well. And like some of it from sleep, some of it from allergies, some of it from just different conditions. And I had to wrestle with, like, oh crap, like what's going to happen, or fear or whatever. And a lot of it had to end up just being, all right, well, I have to see how the day goes, and Lord, just to give me what I need. And if I crash at the end of the day, that's what it is. But that was different than the first time. The first time I think I had it more of, oh, what's going to happen? The fear, like the trying to figure things out. So that was cool to see some growth. But I think going with my son too, that was a new part. So I wasn't sure what to expect. I had some good expectations and I also had some negative expectations. Some of both came to fruition, I think. No, we had a couple of rough patches. They weren't super bad, but you know, it was hard, like with both of us being tired and both of us being out of sync. And Eli likes a routine, and he had to learn how to live without his normal routine. And he even shared with our group at the end of that first week of like, that was hard, but he really felt that he learned a lot, and the Lord showed him some stuff about letting go of some of that. So I thought, okay, that's cool, because I think we all need that at different stages of our lives.
Yeah, that actually is perfect. I was gonna ask, one of the significant things about this trip that was cool to see was it was all father and son duos. I know my brother and my dad got to go to Africa together. I've been on a trip with my dad, and that was a different kind of mission and a different kind of trip.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you guys, for you fathers, how was it being on the trip with your son in that way? I know for both of you, you felt strongly that it was going to be good for them, but then to actually be there with them, right, is a whole nother thing. And then for you, Garrett, being there with your dad, I know a lot of people have expressed just how cool it was to see your dad. Because he's always behind the scenes and stuff, but to see him out there, and I know there were certain things that he was kind of uncomfortable with, but he pushed through too. And so how was that experience with your family, and specifically with your father or son there?
Oh, wow. Damon just threw you. You ready?
I think I need a second.
It's okay if there's some thinking time on here.
I'll continue with what I was just sharing too. Yeah, it was really cool to do things together and see Eli respond in certain ways. Mm. And a couple times where we were actually able to pray for somebody together and then hearing him pray, like, different than just kind of praying over a meal or praying, you know, it was like him speaking into people. And I was like, oh, like, this is good. I really felt he has something. There was more inside him that I hadn't seen especially in those types of settings, in like a ministry type setting. Mm. So that was really encouraging for me. And I think all of his dads had said that it was cool to see all the sons step up whenever there was opportunities. Mm. It wasn't like, I don't want to, or maybe inside, but they never let that hold them back. So even for my son, seeing like Garrett, Dylan, all those, Jaden and Matt, like, just seeing them like, yeah, that's what we got to do. Let's do it. I think that was one of the really cool parts of our team in general, was just the cohesiveness of, hey, well, we're all going to do whatever it takes. And it didn't mean like, oh, it all has to fall on Pastor Barry or whatever. A lot of times it was Pastor Barry being like, I think we're supposed to do this. And then everybody was like, all right, let's go do it. Mm. And so that was cool to see father and sons to be able to partner together in that way. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe in some ways it's the fathers modeling that or stepping forward with their sons to give them courage. Mm. But then I think sometimes I actually felt it from the sons. Like, a couple times Garrett was the first one to say, all right, let's go. And I'm like, okay, I got to go too. Let's go do it. So I think it was good. It was mutual benefit on both aspects.
Mm. Yeah, I think going with my dad, it was interesting because, you know, it's not like, oh, he's my dad, he just told me what to do. It was like, we were doing it together. And that's, you know, like, yeah, my dad is very behind the scenes. He does a lot of stuff at church that isn't upfront. And so, yeah, it was cool. It was cool to see him step out, because a lot of the stuff we did, I knew he wasn't like super, super excited to do it. Especially with like going to places. All right, Pastor Barry says go. Okay, I guess we got to go now. And it's like, we go pray and we go do something. It's something that he's never really done before. Mm. And so just to see him like do it with me, it was cool, right? Because, you know, not that I was worried, but I knew it was going to be a challenge for him. And so for him to just be willing, for him to just go for things, it was really good. It was really good. And it wasn't like I had to worry about him or like, you know, take care of him like I'm his dad or whatever. but yeah, like any worry I had at all just was gone just to see him be willing. So it was cool. It was cool to see him step up in that way.
Yeah. Before I talk about Dylan, one of the cool things for me was just really seeing your dad's heart for you, Garrett. Mm. I think that's something that was really evident on this trip, is just seeing how big of a heart your dad has for you, and then also for other people as well. But, you know, a lot of times it's like, Eric, do you want to do this? Like, if my son wants me to do it, then I'm going to do it. Right. And that was his real heart, was just to support you and not be a hindrance to you too. So I thought that was really cool to see his heart for you and to see you step out and see you step out. Like when you were speaking and you'd asked him if he wanted to share a testimony, it's like, well, if my son wants me to do it, I'm going to do it. Right. And I thought that was really cool just to see like how much he's for you and he's just modeling God's heart for you. So I thought that was really cool.
Well, that, and also like how you can have an impact on your dad by your courage and your boldness in ways that he's maybe not, or he hasn't experienced, and you actually helped him step into things that, you know, maybe had blocks before. So I think it's cool that you were able to speak into him that way. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like, you know, I would have that kind of role on this trip, especially because he's very, you know, behind the scenes. So it's cool to see him step into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me and Dylan, I think one of the things that was unique about our experience is that Dylan was the youngest, right? And so I think that was something that I had to keep reminding myself. Like, it's like, okay, I want him to step up into this. Like, he needs to be mature. It's like, oh, but he's the youngest. It's like, I had to not temper my expectations, but I had to recognize, like, he's still just at the beginning of his journey to becoming a man, right? And so to give him the space and the grace to be able to still be a kid and still, you know, be silly at times or be distracted at times or not be totally focused on what we were supposed to be doing. It's like, okay, yeah, he's still at the beginning of that journey. So I think that was something that I had to become more aware of as the trip would go on. But I thought it was just really special that we have this opportunity to be able to spend this time together for 2 weeks and be able to have these memories together.
Mm.
You know, like he talked about the bug bite thing. Like that was a big thing for us to be able to connect over and help him to see kind of the bigger picture of what might be going on and not just so focused on, oh, my arm's itchy right now, but to help him to see some of the other ways that he can hear from the Lord or recognize what the enemy might be doing in the situation or things like that, and being able to speak into him in that way, you know. And so for me, one of the coolest parts of the trip for me was actually after we came back and we were talking about what we were going to be doing for our service. And we had decided in our meeting that I was going to kind of do the intro and kind of facilitate a little bit. And then Dylan came up to me on the way home and he said, "Hey, Dad, I feel like God told me that I'm supposed to help you with the intro."
Mm.
Right? Cool. And so I think that's the first time that he's shared that with me, that he's heard the Lord speak to him in that type of way.
Mm.
So I was like, oh, that was really special for me to hear him say that. And I feel like part of that is just being on this trip with other guys. Like, he is growing up, right? Mm-hmm. And just being surrounded by these older men and older brothers that are helping him in his journey. I think that all played into that. So I thought that was really cool. And I thought it was really special for him. You know, unfortunately for him, all of his family is sisters and the oldest cousins are all girls. So he's grown up around a lot of girls. So for him to be able to spend 2 weeks with all brothers, I feel like that was significant for him. And I could just tell that he was really enjoying having the older brothers. And yeah, I mean, he just loved being with Garrett, Eli, Jaden, and Matt. I mean, I could just tell he just really enjoyed that time. So that was really special for me, that to see the joy in him that he was experiencing with having those brothers. And, you know, coming back and just see him, where's Dylan? Oh, he's with Jaden, or oh, he's with Eli, or he's with Garrett. You know, it's the bonds that they made too. It's really something cool for me to see.
That's awesome. Yeah, I thought it was just cool even to see on Sunday all of you guys share and just the bits and pieces coming from the fathers and the sons and the ways you all of you guys stepped into different things. And even me personally being able to ask you guys stories of how things went, because I knew behind the scenes and before you went, you guys shared kind of what it might look like. And so to hear how everything played out is super cool. I know on missions trips, especially, I mean, this is being an international one. Anytime that I've been on a missions trip, no matter if you've done it before or not, I think your perspective just broadens, right? God works in so many different ways that we don't always think about, or it's not even on our radar, because from a day to day, we're not in those types of conditions or with those people or even the team that we're with. And so the next question I wanted to ask you was, for each of you personally, what's one thing that maybe God, like, either broadened your perspective with or molded your heart towards, or something that you experienced that you're taking away with that's different coming back, or that opened your eyes to something? It could be something small, something big, but I think, you know, as cool as it is to hear as a team, and I know, Kyle, you've described that this trip was a little different. It was a lot more relational. And so I can imagine there's a lot more connection and just personal investment or even change that takes place from having that kind of interaction rather than just like doing stuff per se. And so I just wanted to kind of pick your guys' brains to see if you've been able to sit with it or recognize ways that God has maybe, yeah, opened your perspective to something, changed your mindset or your heart, or kind of given you a greater heart for something specific.
Well, I think for me, I mean, this is something I want to talk about, but I didn't realize how much of a reach Catalyst had right? Because I knew that when we went to Mozambique, like, we knew people out there, but I didn't realize how close we were with them. Because we got there and it was like, they were like excited. They were excited to see us. They're excited to like see Pastor Barry. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize like we're like super close. Mm. Right. And then we go to the farm and it's like, you know, we help them and help pay for them to like dig this well. It's like they're on like the opposite side of the world and we're still like helping them. We're still having an impact on the global church. And so just for Catalyst, I was like, dang, I didn't realize we did all this stuff. I didn't realize like this is something that, you know, Pastor Barry's been doing for years and realize I didn't even know we like sent money to them. Like I remember like, you know, we, it was like mentioned in a service a long time ago when I was young and that's about it. Mm-hmm. And so it really brought my perspective on what our church does, but on the impact that I can have just being here. Mm-hmm. Right. Because yeah, I went on this mission as a very specific calling. I don't feel like missions is necessarily in my heart. Mm-hmm. But I could still have global impact and I could still like help people just by, you know, and obviously, right, prayer is like a big thing and we prayed for a lot of people and had a big impact, but also just like tithing and like sending money and how much of an impact that has on people. Mm. You know, because that's something that we read about, we should tithe and we should, you know, support our brothers and sisters in the faith. But then to see how much of an impact it had in Mozambique and in Kenya, it was just, it really brought my perspective on how much we could be doing and how much I could do just with, you know, a willing heart to give. And so one, like Cass is super cool. Like I knew Cass was cool, but I was like, realize, like you're doing all that, but also right. I could have a big impact around the world if I really, really wanted to.
I think it is cool because it speaks to the heart of our church. Like that, you know, whatever money we take in, 10% of it goes out to missions outside of our church. And that's a big heart of, like you said, the global church. We do have a reach in different countries and different parts of the world because we feel like that's part of God's calling, is that we're supposed to be united. And us being like such a blessed nation that we have resources that we can help in other places. So, yeah, no, that's cool that you made that connection. But, yeah, just so our listeners know, yeah, 10% of the money we take in goes towards missions.
And you personally might have a global impact because of some of the prayers that you had for a specific couple that you might have a definite global impact.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so what happened was I spoke on one of the last Sunday we were in Mozambique. We went to this church and I shared about it on Sunday, but we ended up going to the pastor's house after. And something that what I talked about was God making impossible things possible. And then my dad shared their testimony on how I was born. Because, you know, I wasn't supposed to be born. It was like a miracle that I was born. And so the pastor, the couple, they have been struggling to get pregnant for years, I think, for a long time. And so we got to spend some time with them and talk to them. And we prayed for them and everything. And I said this on Sunday, too, but normally I'm very cautious in doing this because I don't want to just say whatever, but I was declaring like, oh man, like you're going to have a kid and like this is really what I'm sensing and all that stuff. And so like I was really like, oh man, like I hope like I'm not out of line by doing this, but I really sensed that was what I was supposed to do. And so who knows? We'll see.
I think what's cool just hearing you share, Garrett, is I think it sets a good example, your perspective and what you saw in just Pastor Barry's heart, but our staff and elders and the board, like the mission for our church, that is taken literally and like what God is calling so that other people can do it, right? Like I think when we think about our mission, it's like, okay, this is for our church and for our people, but by investing in the different pastors that we're in touch with, by investing in the farm, the well, like all those people, God uses the money or the resources, the help to allow them to step into who God has created them, right, to be. Mm-hmm. And so even though we're here, that faith, that heart is translated. And then for you guys to be able to witness it there, I think that's such a cool example of like, yes, it's the mission of our church. And when we step into it, both individually and collectively as, you know, Christ's body, it empowers other people to do that as well. So yeah, that's really cool to see and know that like those pastors, those people working out there, they're stepping into their calling. And so as we continue to all step into who God has created and called us to be, it helps others to do that as well, and vice versa.
And Brett, you said you were impacted when you saw Pastor Barry's video from the farm, right?
Yeah, because, you know, I really liked the you know, blurbs and the previews and the clips that you guys were posting and showing so that everybody else here could kind of stay updated on what was going on. And that one surprised me just because, you know, I was aware of the ways we support people, but you just don't, like, I don't know what it looks like, right? Like, you can imagine, like, oh, okay, you know, we help with this or that's like, okay, I can kind of picture how I might picture it. But then to see, you know, even Pastor Barry's reaction and just like, oh no, this is big. It's not just like, oh, now they have like a small little garden that we've helped. It's like, no, as far as his eye could see and just like the years and years of, I'm assuming all the time that it took them to even to get that started, to plant it, to make sure it was running, you know, correctly. I'm sure it wasn't easy all the time. So that video, yeah, just showed me like really, really the heart of like investing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like it's over a long period of time. It's consistent. It's faithful. And so it was just like, that shows how God takes that investment and like can exponentially bless, or how he can work and take things and make it bigger than even what you could imagine or assume. And so for me, it was like, oh, I think that's really cool for our church to see, kind of like what Garrett's sharing, like you may or may not know what we're involved with or helping with, but then to see the actual kind of fruit of it, so to say, is like, okay. And then, yeah, pun fruit of it, but it's like, oh, that's, yeah, that only increases and is encouraging to my faith in our church, our staff, and obviously with God and what he can do.
Yeah, for me with the farm, it was really cool too to see Pastor or Apostle Vosco as he wanted to show us the farm. It really made the parable of the talents like come to life, right? Mm. It's like when the first servant comes back and says, Lord, I took your gift and I multiplied it exponentially, right? And then it's like, well done, good and faithful servant, right? It's like he wanted to show us what our investment has produced, and he was just like kind of glowing about it, and it was really cool. So I thought that was just it brought a Bible story to life for me. Mm. For me, in terms of perspective and how my perspective was brought in, I have been on a few mission trips before, been to Japan internationally a couple times. I think one of the things that was unique about this trip, though, is the relationship that's ongoing that we have with Daniel and Apostle Vosco and the people there, and even the ways that we're thinking about potentially increasing our relationships with them. Because in the times that I went to Japan, we had connections with a missionary family that we were visiting. But post and pre, there was not an extended relationship with them. Mm. We knew about them. We knew them a little bit, but it's not like we were going to continue to have an ongoing relationship with them or an ongoing relationship with the communities that we're going to be in. Mm. And so this was very unique because, you know, I met Pastor Daniel 10 years ago or more when he came to America the first time. And we've been kept in contact through that whole time. And so to go to a place where you have a relationship with someone already and it's been a relationship that you've invested in a little bit, it's very different. It's very different. So I thought that was really cool just to see how this opportunity to go there in person is going to enhance that relationship and make it stronger. Mm. And, you know, because that's been something he's been asking me about for the past few years is like, when are you going to come to Mozambique? When are you going to come visit me? Mm. You know, and so to actually do that and to be able to say that I've slept in his house, he slept in my house, to, you know, that's a different type of relationship than just a, you know, one time I'm going over there and then I don't know what's going to happen after that, right? So it was really cool. And then to be able to say that like our sons bonded, I thought that was really special too. So for Dylan and Blessing to be able to spend time together to to play, to get to know each other, to become friends. I thought that was really special. So it, to me, I feel like just the image of like God's body and God's family just really grew during this this trip for me. And after this trip too, just to see like, wow, it's so cool because there's so many reasons that we shouldn't be united with these people, right? Mm-hmm. Different culture, different language, different background, different, just so many differences. And, you know, a lot of times in our world today, it seems like that's what we're defined by is our differences. But to see, even despite all of those differences, we have this family in Mozambique. We have this family in Kenya, and it's because of Jesus. And to me, that was really special to see that because, you know, sometimes we get so locked in our little bubble that we have here that we don't see the bigger picture of what God is doing in the world. So I thought that was really cool. And it was just enhanced this past weekend as we had our family from Unified in Hawaii come out too. And just, it's like, wow, just all of these family experiences with people that are not from our local church. Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
I think for me, one thing is just that the impact you can have in small ways. Mm. I think there's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of hurt in the places that we were at, but seeing people bringing God's light in small ways, I think maybe in the past it's like, yeah, that's good, but it seems almost insignificant because the need is so great. But I think even just being more aware, but just even more appreciative of those little ways, because those different organizations, they're making huge impacts in individual lives and how those are going to then impact individual lives going forward. And just looking at it that way was a little bit more eye-opening for me. Like, wow, this one kid that's getting rescued off the street and given an education and a trade, he's going to have a family at some point, or probably, or he or she, and then how that's going to affect the whole trajectory of that going forward. And even to be an example for their existing family or friends and how, you know, change can come. But it's through the Lord. It's not just, oh, rescuing them because it's a good thing. It's doing it from God's love. And so that was really highlighted. I think a second thing was actually, it got brought to me last night. So last night we were at Ezra's, like, kind of back to school night. It was like, school hasn't started, but it's like kind of meet the teachers and kind of go over some curriculum stuff. Well, one of the kids in his class, parents are African. So we were talking like, oh, what'd you do this summer? This and that. And I said, oh, we went on a trip to Africa. And he goes, where? And told him, and his whole family, so Ezra's one classmate, they had spent the whole summer in Africa. And so they were in Nairobi and other places. They're like, wow, we might have even crossed paths like at the same time.
Well, I'm pretty sure they would remember you stand out in Nairobi.
No, I mean, cross paths of, dudes, come on. There's a lot of embassies there and stuff too. But just the fact that, but you're killing me, man.
Okay, the rest of us stand out in Nairobi too, not just you, Kyle, but...
Now you're like ruining my story, man. I punt. But what stood out to me, he said, like, where'd you go? This and that. And I said, oh, we went up north or east or whatever, west, up by Lake Victoria. And he goes, Kisumu? I'm like, oh, yeah, from there. We flew there and then we drove like an hour and a half. And his reaction was like, oh, like, that's way out there. Mm. And so even for him, he grew up there. As, you know, this, most of his family is still there. For him to be like, oh, like most people don't go there. Mm. And so when we did that trip to Paul's village, it really brought more depth to me of like, they were so happy to have us there. They were so proud that we would come visit them.
Wow.
Because it was more like they're not seen, you know, like they're forgotten. Mm. And, you know, so I even mentioned to that dad, I said, yeah, they just got electricity like 6 months ago in their village. And he was like, yeah, like that's way out there. And so for me, that highlighted the importance of these types of trips where people are seen. It kind of stinks in a way that it's like, oh, you're from America and you're coming here. It's like we have this aura about us, but that kind of sucks. But it's just the fact that we're like God's eyes, so to speak, that we're there shining light on them, that God sees you, that you're important. And so for me, in the past, that wouldn't have been as significant. And even before last night hearing that, it was like, oh, like what we did was really impactful for that village. And I do think as we encounter having teams go back in the future, I think we will. That village was definitely highlighted as like, I think we can have an impact there, and we would have a purpose for going back to that village.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think for every person, we all want to be seen, right? Yeah, and especially to be known,
right?
And to be understood, and the depth that God sees us and knows us, that brings a different weight. The last question I wanted to ask you guys is, what encouragement, or if someone who's, you know, slightly interested, or like, oh, I think I would go on a missions trip, maybe they're even like, okay, I would do it, but I don't know if I want to go to Africa, or like I would want to go to Japan or have to take a huge flight. How would you encourage them, just even in the heart of going on a mission or serving in that capacity? How could you, encourage them or give them advice to ask the Lord or seek, or how do you know where you're supposed to go or what you're supposed to do? Any tips or insights of pieces of wisdom that you could leave our listeners with? Because I'm one of those people too. Yeah. You know,
I'll start. Just, I've shared this in the past, but it actually came up again on Sunday when somebody came up to get prayer. But for my journey, it's about surrender, and so I had to get to a point where I surrendered to God just in general. Like, okay, God, whatever you want for me. And part of my hesitation in surrendering is like, I don't want him to send me to Africa. So this was like 15 years ago, right? And that, because it, whatever, I had all these, like the food, the conditions, the this, the that, the travel. I just don't want to go there. So don't send me there. Mm-hmm. But I had to get past that to say like, okay, whatever you want. And I was expecting like, when the next week or two or whatever is going to be like, okay, this is what you're going to have to do. Like he was going to come down almost and punish me. And then I had to learn to trust him.
Mm.
Okay. I surrender to you, but part of surrendering means I have to trust that whatever you have for me is good. Mm-hmm. And your timing is good. And so it was like a tense 2-3 weeks where I'm like waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? Like, okay, what's coming? And then, you know, it was like, I kind of exhaled like, oh, it's not like this thing I was expecting. And then, you know, a year and a half later, this opportunity came to go to Africa, and I'm like, I'm supposed to go on that.
Mm.
And so a total shift, but it came from surrender. So someone came up to get prayer, and then they made a joke. It was, I forget what they asked for, but then they were kind of like joking, like, yeah, I don't want to go to Africa or anything. And I'm like, you know what? Really, it's just you have to get to that point where you trust God.
Yeah.
And if you trust him, and he'll in his timing, if he wants you to go, it's for your good, that you can trust him enough to say, okay, if you want me to go, I'll do it. So I would just say, work on building your trust, and do it in little ways. And it's gonna actually get tested in small ways with your family, with doing things here locally and that kind of thing. It's not gonna be, he's not gonna ask you to make a big step you're not ready for. But if you don't start on that journey, then that trust never gets developed.
And some people think God doesn't have a sense of humor.
Oh man. And now I've gone twice, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah.
Where else do you not want to go, Kyle? No,
I'm
just kidding.
I've learned not to. No, whenever people say like, I'm God better not send me to do this, or I'm never doing that. I'm like, oh, you better be careful what you say out loud.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I was too originally with Japan, because people used to ask me, you're Japanese, don't you ever want to go to Japan? And I was like, actually, I'm an American, so I have really have no desire to go to Japan. And then, but God really changed my heart. And so I think sometimes with those statements, it's like, I don't want to do this, or it's understanding like what is the block there and what does God want to show you, right? So for me, I just didn't have any personal connection with Japan in the first place. So that it just wasn't a desire.
Mm-hmm.
But then after having gone the first time, God really grew my heart for Japan and also for the Japanese people. And so I went back again. And then I've also been back since then too. So going from someone who totally didn't want to do that to someone now who's gone a few times, God really changed my heart. And so really, I think kind of like what Kyle was talking about in terms of surrender, I really feel like it's God wants us to open up our hearts to him. Right. And sometimes we close it off because we're afraid of pain or we're afraid of expectations that we have of a certain thing or a certain place. But the Lord really wants us, like I was saying, to trust him. And so are there certain areas that we've held on to that we need to release to him, that we need to soften and see really what the Lord has in store for us? Because, just having experienced time in Japan, in Africa, just I feel like he's grown my heart and given me the capacity to have my heart grow and also have my heart healed. So there was an experience that I had this past weekend where the Lord brought some healing to some areas of my heart that had been hurting for a long time. And I think that some of these experiences, like going on the trip, really helped to increase my trust in him and also helped to increase my capacity for my heart to be able to receive that healing. So I don't think it's all, it's not a coincidence that the order that things happened in and the way that things happen, because I feel like that's been something that the Lord has been saying is he cares for my heart and he wants me to know that he cares for my heart. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something, for us to recognize is, are there places in your heart that you feel like the Lord hasn't cared for and to open those places up to him so he could show you how much he cares for your heart.
Yeah. And I would say just to trust in the way that God made you, trust in the way that he's, you know, and all that he's given you with your strengths and your desires. Just because for me, when I first got asked to go to Africa, I was like, yeah, I want to go. And then I had to really, like, pray and check myself, because, you know, do I want to go because I want to go on vacation? Do I want to go just because I want to go hang out? Or, like, why do I want to go? And so as I'm praying, you know, I'm realizing that I want to go because I want to serve. I want to go just because I want to get to know God in a way that I can't out here. I want to go just because my heart is for the Lord and my heart is for his people. And so, you know, when people would ask me, like, I would tell them, yeah, it's a very specific calling for me to go. And I meant it, but it wasn't like God came down in a cloud of fire and was like, Garrett, go to Africa. It was just God showing me, this is, you know, this is an extension of my heart. You are like, you know, you're my hands and feet. I'm asking you to go. And so, you know, God gives you desires, and if you're really aligned with him and your heart is for him, then it'll lead you to do certain things. And, you know, if that's a mission trip, then be open to that. And so just trust in the way that he's made you, because he knows how he's made you and he knows, you know, what he wants you to do, and so he'll get you there. And so really it is just about trust and having an open heart, because if you're willing, like, he could use you to do anything. And so, yeah, it's just, for me, it's just about trusting in the way that he made me, because it wasn't really a clear, like, Garrett, go. It was just, I want to do this because I want to serve, and I want to do this because I want to, you know, get to know the Lord better. And that's what I was trusting in, just in the way that he wanted me, or just in the way that he made me. So don't have any doubt about what God could do with you.
Garrett, you definitely had a heart to serve on this trip. One question I had for you is, like, something that you had said to me a couple times while we were in Africa was, you know, you felt like you wanted to be doing more. Have you had a chance to process that with the Lord? And, like, where are you at now?
Not a lot, but, like, yeah, when we were there, we visited a lot of places and we saw a lot of, you know, a lot of poverty and just a lot of unfortunate circumstances. And so a lot of places that we went, we were definitely doing things. We were definitely praying and encouraging people, which, you know, I had to learn did have a big impact. But we were there and I'm like, oh man, like, we should be doing more than just visiting. Or I specifically felt like I should be doing more. And so that's something that I kind of carried from, like, most of the trip, and then I've come home and I've prayed about it a lot. I don't feel like there's any specific calling yet, but what I do feel like is just to be willing to do that stuff, right? Just to be willing to do the hard work, be willing to, you know, put myself out there and be uncomfortable for people that might need, you know, need the Lord. And so as of right now, there's no specific like, oh, go back or oh, go here or do anything specific, but just an encouragement for me to have an open heart, to be willing to just do anything that he wants me to do. Because, yeah, I mean, God could do a lot just with your willingness, and not just your willingness to do something, but your willingness to work hard for it. And so that's where I'm at right now. No specific calling yet, but I think that's okay.
No, I think it's cool to see that. I mean, really, when you were asking that question to me, really what I was feeling was that God's really just growing your heart for people. And that's where that was coming from. It's just that you're seeing people in these different circumstances and your heart is growing for them. So you have this desire to do something, right? And so I really felt like it was really cool just to see God shaping and molding and growing your heart for people. And that, I mean, that's how I heard it when you shared it with me. It's just like the Lord is really growing your heart. And when you see people, it's like, I want to do more. What can I do? But then also to recognize, like, when you were praying for them, you're doing what you can in that time, in that moment.
Yeah, and I wanted to just bring a different light to this question, too, about kind of spurring people on, that are our listeners, that give a little bit of background. Is in one of our team trainings, Evasia came in, and we all listed our hesitations and our, like, our things that we were kind of worried about. And so I think all 10 of us felt called on this trip, but that didn't mean that we didn't carry, you know, things that were potential, I don't know, fears or whatever. So but it was cool because we all got to lay that out, and we felt like, oh, wow, we are very similar. We were worried about the plane trip. We're worried about the food. We're worried about getting sick. We're worried about our family back home. I mean, there's just all these things. So know that those are natural and they're there, but don't let that be the reason that you don't go. Mm. I mean, you have to process with the Lord, but if he's calling you, then he knows what those are, and he'll make a way forward. So just know that even if when you feel called to go, it doesn't just make those things go away. I mean, it definitely helps. It helps minimize some of them, but there's things that we have to face. So.
And kind of on top of that too, when we did that exercise and seeing how a lot of us had very similar hesitations, it was kind of encouraging too, because it was like, okay, well, if he can have that same thing and say he wants to go, well, that I can do it too, right? And so just the stronger together feeling of recognizing when we're vulnerable and we're able to share, it's like, oh, that's me too. And if you can do it, then I can do it. And we can do it together, right? And I thought that was really cool.
And I think your dad was big in that, because he had some major hesitations. I don't think he had ever been out of the country, or
I mean, he's been to like Canada, and that's
maybe Canada. It was like, oh, like he did that because he wanted to support you. But then even on the trip, like I know he wasn't sleeping good, and the plane trips were rough, and all. I'm like, okay, yeah, I got to check myself too. Like, hey, Eric's pushing through. I'm like, all right, let's go. Like, let's keep a good attitude, keep pushing. And so I think it was cool. We all kind of spurred each other on that way too.
That's really cool. I really appreciated you guys sharing, and I know you guys have more stories, and I encourage the listeners too to ask even the people that aren't on the podcast, you know, they have a ton of stories and to share. I think two takeaways I have from you guys that's I feel like God pressing on my heart is, one, like there's so many people that need and want to be seen and loved by God. You know, they may not even know it, or maybe they do know it, but it's like, okay, God, do you see me? Or you know, I think there's just so many people. It could be all the way around the world, but it could be even your neighbor that you're living next to. You just don't know. That's a huge thing. And I think that the second thing is, from hearing you guys share, it sounds like you're able to step into this calling that God had for you, and to do the things that he has laid in front of you, to pray for people, to impact people, and how, you know, you guys had to come to the understanding that, okay, this is a blessing. This does have a big impact on others, but also to hear your guys' hearts, it's like, not only did you give a piece of God to them and allowed them to experience God in a different way, or to be seen by God, or to feel loved by God, but all of you also, like, received so much from it,
yeah, for
and
sure.
we're grown more in God's likeness in stepping into this. And so it's really encouraging for me. I will say now my wife was already saying, like, we got to go to Africa or we got to go somewhere. Do you want to go? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm just trying to listen to them share and stuff. But I think at some point, yeah, I think I do want to go somewhere wherever God is calling.
Mike and Trisha did say that you are the last Harada to come, so you need to go visit them.
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe you have to keep them wanting. No. Yeah, wherever God is calling and we could step into, but it's really encouraging to hear you guys share. I'm glad that you guys had a good experience and are able to be witnesses to the rest of our church too. Like, you guys could do it too, right? And it may not be Africa, it may be somewhere more local, but that same heart, that same impact that you can have. And so that's all the questions I have. Damon, you could take it back and close us out, whatever you want to do. But yeah, I hope the listeners got to enjoy a little more insight to your guys' trip.
I think one last thing that I wanted to share is, you know, don't let your age be a hindrance, right? And I think, you know, with Dylan going, it was interesting, right? Because we have a 13-year-old boy going, and we had two other high schoolers going, right? But when we were on in the field and we were, you know, talking with the people, we interacted with a lot of kids, and the kids wanted to interact with other kids, right? And so what that allowed us to do is that when the kids were interacting with each other, then the adults got to interact with some of the other adults. And so that was not something that we had kind of intentionally said, we want to take kids so that we can do this. But that was one of the things that we noticed, is that, wow, having the younger guys there really made a difference in a lot of the ministry applications that we had, because we did a lot of stuff with kids. And so it was just a real blessing to have them, having Garrett, you know, just having that dynamic mix of ages was huge for this team, because we were ministering to people of different ages, right? And so it would have been very different if it was just all the adults going. So I really felt like that was a big blessing that the Lord showed us, is that, you know, even taking some of the kids can be a benefit and can make an impact when you go on trips like this too. So yeah, we know it's been a longer episode, but we had a lot of fun just reminiscing and thinking about, talking about our trip. And like Brett was saying, if you guys have more questions, come find us. We, you know, are so thankful that our Catalyst family supported us to send us on this trip, and we want to share as much as we can with everyone out there. So thanks again for listening. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.